God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. This is probably not going to be a factor in a lot of the discussions, a lot of the polling, but there is a fact of human nature, and that is people hate having things stolen from them. They do. And there's a large number of Americans, a large percentage, who believe that the 2020 election was stolen. I am among them. I know it was rigged. I believe it was stolen. And there's a funny thing about people. Missing out on an opportunity, they don't like that. Losing a thing, they don't like that. Being told they can't have a thing, they don't like that. They particularly hate it, though, when someone steals something from them. This is just unbelievable psychology behind this. It might cost you more money to get a thing back. This happens with cars all the time, where people have a car stolen and the car's been vandalized and the insurance company will do a replacement. People say, no, I want my car back. I think there's a lot of people who said, I want my vote back. And I think that animated some of the turnout. And one other thing about the turnout, and I know this is complete, this is absolute speculation. It's just a curiosity to me. What happened to the 81 million votes that Joe Biden received? I mean, Kamala Harris is the emptiest human ever to run for the presidency. She simply does not exist. There is no Kamala Harris. There's a series of words on pieces of paper and teleprompters, and it ends there. There is no depth. There is no breadth. There is avarice, and there is greed, and there's seeking power. And these are all just observations of her entire career and everything she's ever done in public life. It's not to say I know her personally. I don't. So you could say bearing false witness. No, I'm speaking of the patterns in her life. The victory by President Trump, utterly historic. It cannot be explained outside of godly intervention. Yeah. No, I just said that a lot of people were animated to vote because they hate having their vote stolen. I think a huge number of people did that. But think about this, and then let's have respect for the majesty of God. All federal machinery, all of it, every piece of federal machinery lined up against Donald John Trump. Prosecutors left the Department of Justice to go be assistant prosecutors under the corrupt, hopelessly corrupt Alvin Bragg, a prosecutor in New York. You don't leave a federal position like that to go take on a junior position working for a corrupt machine prosecutor, unless you've been told there's a payoff on the back end. That was one sign. The January 6th committee, from the beginning to the end, illegitimate, extra-constitutional, if not unconstitutional, acting as a prosecutorial board prosecuting Americans, not their job. They destroyed evidence. They hid exculpatory evidence. Liz Cheney tampered with a witness. The events of January 6th were allowed to happen. A demonstrably corrupt former general, General Whiteridge, General Miley, allowed that to occur. Bearing false witness? No. No, the record of communication is very clear. President Trump wanted the National Guard to guard the Capitol. General Whiteridge said no. It's clear. Let some through. Let some of the crazies be crazy, is what they would say. And people who assaulted cops and went and vandalized offices, not necessarily crazy, but way, way, way outside the realms of morality. And they deserve punishment. 4 years in prison? No. Except for assaulting a cop. Yes, in that case, perhaps. All the federal machinery was turned against President Trump. The media, which Mockingbird Media is, in my judgment, run from Washington, D.C. Well, how could I say such a thing? Really? Well, let's go through this. Stay safe. Stay home. Stay safe. Official policy of the Mockingbird Media. Bill Gates is an expert on vaccines. The official position of the Mockingbird Media. Tony Fauci is sainted and has never done a wrong thing. Official position of the Mockingbird Media. Safest, most secure election in history. Official position of the Mockingbird Media. President Trump is a Russian asset. Official position of the Mockingbird Media. And then this. A woman who, for years, people had said she speaks poorly. She is empty-headed. She has an annoying cackling laugh, was suddenly labeled joyful by every single Mockingbird Media outlet in about 3 days. Her laugh is a sign of joy. Remember that? The joyful Kamala Harris, the campaign of joy. All the federal machinery was turned against President Trump, every ounce of it, and many of the states. Then there was the decision, in my judgment, again, in my judgment, to let a couple of snipers take a shot or two. There is no, absolutely no defense. None. It cannot be offered for Butler, Pennsylvania. It cannot be offered. The decision to allow, to place no sniper at the high point, that water tower, the overwatch of all overwatches, the decision to not do that is exactly like someone deciding to make a great pizza with no dough. Well, aren't you going to have a pizza shell crust? No. So you just get a, what, pour the tomato sauce in the pan? Yeah. That's not pizza. Yeah, it is. Perfectly good pizza. It's exactly that absurd. And in this last bit of time after Kamala Harris's people were allowed to steal the nomination from Joe Biden, not only was she labeled joyful, there was the great report of this grassroots uprising for Kamala Harris, this mass of enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. Never mind that she had to bring celebrities to her events twice. Twice, MSNBC pretended that the celebrities were going to perform there. I don't think they thought the celebrities were going to perform. Every piece of machinery was turned against Donald John Trump. Let's pretend he's been convicted of rape. He wasn't. It was a civil case, and it was assault, but not rape. The charges there are preposterous. Utterly preposterous that it made it to trial. It didn't go to criminal trial because it couldn't. Because the accuser didn't remember what until 20 years later and then couldn't remember the date, but was a fan of President Trump's TV show. She went on TV and said rape is sexy. Everything was aligned against him. The bullet that was to take him out, President Trump turned his face at the last second. I actually think God turned his face. The sniper hiding in a well-known location outside his golf course, well-known by paparazzi because they hid there, never got a shot off, even though the FBI and the Secret Service did not check the perimeter of that location. Again, that would be exactly like you cooking a cake, baking a cake, by pouring the cake dough into your oven. Wait, you're not going to use a pan? No, I prefer to pour the cake dough directly into the oven. Then that's not going to be a cake. Well, this is what I do. This is the gold standard. To not check the perimeter? All of it was aligned against President Trump. States seeking to bar him from being on the ballot failed. Everything failed. So let's remember something. Who places kings in power exactly? Who does that? And I'm not saying that President Trump is a king. I pray he doesn't act like a king. I don't think he's going to go act like a king. But we can turn to where we should always turn, to the Bible, and just find out. And this is from Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. The Lord changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So let's not ourselves get confused here. Every piece of machinery was aligned against this man, and then look at the electoral outcome and look at the count and look at the fact that Kamala Harris has yet to concede, though the count is 226 to 295 in favor of Trump Vance. It's an act of God. We know this because God decides these things, but think about all that President Trump had to overcome to get to this point. And I think it becomes even more impressive as to what he's done. Scratch that. What God decided to do through him. So now what? I would recommend that Team Trump, as the first official act in the White House when they all get together, fall to their knees and beg God to work through them to unite this country. I know it's banal. It's a cliche. People believe it can't happen. Politically, it can't. Temporally, it can't. God could unite us, but he will only unite us around the godly. He will not unite us around the ungodly, and that's perhaps the forever challenge. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, so full of mercy, did not come to unite but to divide. I don't think by choice, but he is truth. And truth is divisive because truth can hurt. Because sometimes you really want a thing. And God's truth says that is not a thing you can have. I mean, you can have it. But man, are you going to pay? It's not a threat. It's not a punishment. It's a consequence. It's not a punishment when your car breaks down because you don't put oil in it. That's a consequence. It's not a punishment when you gain 250 pounds of fat because you eat processed sugars and fats all day long. That's a consequence. A nation that has allowed the ungodly at the very tip top of power will face consequences. So I hope that President Trump and his team will drop to their knees and ask God to guide the administration. Because uniting isn't in the cards. There's going to be further division, but we can unite the godly. We have a very difficult requirement for those of us who serve the Lord Jesus. Very difficult. We have to reach out to our family members who are freaked and terrified because they exist. They do exist. I have friends and family who this moment are utterly terrified, and so I'm texting them one by one, just checking in on you. Let God's face shine through us. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View, and we will continue. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I was just listening to that music, and I had the opportunity to go out and have dinner with Tim Wildman. He was kind enough to buy us dinner with his own money, by the way. And he was joking about the music we play on the show. I said, except for your Van Halen, Tim, there is no secular music on our show. Everything we do here is it's all Christian music. It's kind of a funny line. There's a lot to get to, particularly on the spiritual front. And this election was the first time that you saw the major play from heretics and fake Christians set up now, the church fully infiltrated. Not fully, praise God, because the Church of Jesus Christ will never, ever fall to the gates of Hades. The Lord Jesus said that his church will stand against the gates of Hades completely. We know that. So true Christian churches, absolutely locked to the Bible. They're not going to fall. They can't, because Jesus said that won't happen. But the fake churches, the infiltration of these fake churches, we saw that for the first time fully play out. And it didn't deliver victory to Satan this time. But look at the patterns. We'll talk about that and do a comparison to a song that erupted. And I think organically, after President Trump's victory speech last night. Before we do that, a reminder that we afford you the opportunity to make tax-exempt donations. And I'm joined by Chelsea Wildman. I didn't get to go to dinner with Chelsea, unfortunately, when I was back in Tupelo, Mississippi. She's with the AFA Foundation here for a couple of minutes just to remind us what the foundation does and some of the great work that's happening. Welcome back, Chelsea.
Thank you so much for having me today, Todd.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Remind people about the AFA Foundation, what you do, and how we can help.
Yes, surely. So our AFA Foundation, we exist to help donors provide a lifetime income for the rest of their life while also giving and supporting the work of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And how they can do that is through our charitable gift annuity that allows folks to have a lifetime income and also receive some great tax benefits, a partial tax deduction the year that they give the gift, as well as partial tax-free income when they start to elect to receive those payments. And then once they receive those payments for their lifetime and they pass away and, you know, go home to be with the Lord, any remaining funds are then gifted to AFA to continue our ministry's work for the Lord. So it really is a win-win. It's as our former advisor called it a final tithe. And we like to say in the charitable gift annuity space to hopefully allow and plan for about 10% of your overall portfolio into a charitable gift annuity. And the AFA Foundation would love to help you with that.
Love it. It's a great way to have a guaranteed income in your retirement and to know that your money is going to continue to allow people to tune into live radio and suddenly see God's word connected to the news. And a lot of people have never heard that before. And I will tell you, I got a heartbreaking and inspiring note from a listener. I'll share this with a personal note later today, who had turned away from my radio work and has found me on AFR. He turned away because I spoke the word of God. You guys got to hear this. Chelsea, how do people get in touch with you if they want to take advantage of this way to have a guaranteed income in life and help God's word spread?
Yes, absolutely. So they can give us a call at our foundation, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. I'll give that number one more time, 1-800-326-4543. 4543, extension 345, and also they can visit afafoundation.net to get more information.
Got it. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Chelsea. God go with you, the AFA Foundation. The this past election that we're just now analyzing was the first time that we saw the full play of the heretics in fake Christian churches out for Kamala Harris. And what they're willing to say about our Lord is just, some of it I really don't know if I should play here, because of some of the things they say about Jesus. I mean, it's important for us to know this, but it breaks my heart that people need to, for instance, sexualize Jesus. And there is a drive to do that. It is so offensive. And fortunately, we don't have to be the ones to judge. Jesus will do that. But let's start with, I think, something very inspiring. This was after President Trump gave his victory speech, and he, God worked through him to defeat the federal machinery. And I do believe the mass amount of prayers for President Trump. I do believe that worked or helped. Because I think God has shown something like, hey, the federal government's powerful, but look, watch. I'll take the least likely thing to happen, and I'll make it happen. President Trump's going to come back against all of this and two assassination attempts. Look, watch it. Watch what I could do. So have we praised God enough on this? These people did. The crowd erupted in this heartfelt chorus singing praise to God, how great thou art, as Trump closed his victory speech. Absolutely, utterly beautiful. And I have a suggestion for Team Trump, and I said this last segment. First action of the leadership team in the White House is prayer on your knees, that you will be guided by God's wisdom. It's the same prayer that Solomon prayed. And of course, he went astray. Let's pray that doesn't happen. The reason I say that is because, of course, we are to be prayer-guided. But also because the spiritual dynamic in this election was forefront. It was not hidden. Satan is no longer interested in hiding. We've reached a stage where there are open Satanists working in the White House, and no one seems to care. We've reached a stage where people can contend that the Bible says things it simply does not say, and a lot of people don't seem to care. So this is this first election where we've seen this happening, and this is the first election where totally fake, heretical Christians played a significant role. Listen as the false teachers pretend Kamala Harris is godly.
The faith community has always served as a beacon of hope in trying times.
And this election
is no different.
We are going to remember this moment forever.
The moment we chose joy and freedom
as a new way forward.
Some say faith and politics don't mix, but freedom and hope do. Seeing people from all different backgrounds,
races, religions, and genders
gather to show their support and enthusiasm
for Kamala Harris is church.
She exudes integrity,
dignity,
humanity,
and empathy.
And she can reach across the aisle, any aisle, and get things done. That's what we need in the White House. The time is now.
The time is now.
This moment, right now.
Each of us are called to our own vineyard. This is Kamala's.
When our sister wins,
We all win.
Vote for Kamala Harris
by November the 5th.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Let's go through all of the things, all of the fruits of Kamala Harris that indicate she's a godly woman. Done. Support for same-sex marriage. Ungodly. Taking the life of a child in the womb. Ungodly. Forcing people to lie that a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy. Ungodly. Funding both sides of the war between Israel and Hamas. Ungodly. Allowing crime to happen by decriminalizing it. In other words, promoting theft. Ungodly. There is no godliness to be observed. The fake Christianity, the fake Christian movement, is purely political invention through spiritual means. And man, this is important. They didn't win in this election here on earth. But does Satan care? He's running in a different election. He is the first politician. He's the first one to use wedge issues. He's the first one to divide families. He's the first one to rebel. He's the first politician. But he is not running to be president. He doesn't care. He's winning elections for eternity. I was going to do this in a personal note. I'm going to do it here. Decided to change the programming. I'm going to tell you about an email I got from a guy, and I'm going to warn you that it is horrific and happy. It is shocking, and it is affirming. Guy wrote me and said that he used to listen to me when I was on radio in Seattle. I did a morning show for many years there. I was blessed with that. And God made sure that the morning show was the top conservative show in Seattle for a long time. During the COVID lockdowns, we were number three overall. I mean, there were two FM stations that were ahead of us. One was a legendary rock station. The other was a legendary country station. But aside from that, in our demographic, God delivered us incredible ratings. Praise God. And he listened to my radio show there. And he wrote to me and said that when I went to podcasting and towards the end of my radio show in Seattle, and I was getting ready to go to podcasting, he had to stop listening because I talked about God so much. He said he was tuning in for the politics, and when I filled in for Rush, God rest Limbaugh, it was the politics. He loved it. And then you started to talk about Jesus and the Bible. And then really, he said that I really began to bother him when I started to talk about the need to not watch pornography and not to consume it, not to have it in our houses. And it, by the way, the reason I'm paraphrasing this is this guy writes in a very unique style. I'm concerned that people would know who he is if I were to read the notes. It's very uniquely written, very good writer. So he informed me that he's now listening to me on AFR and using my YouTube channel, which is, by the way, youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. You can see 2 hours of programming every day there, youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. Here's what happened to this man. After having left my radio show behind and the podcast behind, because of all the mentions of God, because he got tired of me doing shows about the evils of pornography and having guests on to talk about pornography and women who've gotten out of the abuse of pornography and are now speaking out against it, and former directors. I did a series on this. And this is the rough part, guys. This is the shocking part. He was home taking care of his kids. Wife was gone. And he was in the bedroom, his bedroom, door shut, using his pornography. When he heard the most horrific, chilling scream of his 6-year-old and the crashing of dishes. And he jumped out of bed. He covered himself. He ran into the kitchen where his 6-year-old was writhing on the floor, having burned her hand on the stove, trying to make herself food. And he had to confess to himself, first of all, what that had just cost him. What had he been doing? And then he had to tell his wife. I guess he didn't have to, but he did. And he remembered, wait, one of my favorite radio hosts had talked about how addictive porn is. Dear God, I'd locked the door to my bedroom and left my girls alone. I mean, they were just in the front room. Kamala Harris's party, and one of her closing arguments was that men should have better access to porn. That was one of the closing arguments of a woman who contends to protect women. You can't protect women if you do not argue against pornography and seek to limit its access from kids. But the heretics of fake Christianity seem always to organize around the sexual. That's just what they always seem to push. Why? Could it be because Satan hates our bodies? Because God loves our bodies? Could it be because he seeks to defile the very act, the one thing we get to do in life where we're closest to God? I think that is the creation of life. Because remember, in a marital union, when a man and woman join together and become one flesh, at that moment where our life is created, the sperm and the egg meet, remember what happens if you look at it microscopically? It's a burst of light. In other words, let there be light. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There is something that's gone unnoticed, and it shouldn't. It's important to understand something that has been happening behind the scenes in digital land. Are you familiar with the Wayback Machine, the Internet Wayback Machine? This has been around a long time. It's the Internet Archive's Wayback Machine. It's been around for, gosh, a decade. And what it does is it takes snapshots of well-trafficked websites, sometimes not even well-trafficked. For instance, I used to use this from time to time for memory's sake. It had some pictures I was thrilled to know of my internet radio company, which is really, really old. I was just thinking, gosh, is there anything left from that? What did that website look like? And I've got memorabilia from them, but I looked at the Internet Wayback Machine and wow, it was there. So it was hacked in early October. And this was an email smash and grab. This comes from PJ Media, who reported on this. And it was hit again on October 20th. And this time they sought and got access to the Zendesk support system, which gave them access to everything. So now it's back, but as a read-only service. So you can search, but you can't capture any existing web pages into the archive. Now, this matters because of the Orwell memory holding that's going on. So you're familiar with the George Orwell movie, 1984, based on the book. Well, it's the George Orwell book, the movie adaptation thereof. And to memory hole is to take an historical event, news events, and to cast it away as if it never happened and to erase it across all forms of public consumption. So there are a whole series of stealth edits that happen from time to time. For instance, this. The American Academy of Pediatrics did the most curious thing. During the COVID lockdowns, they removed studies that showed that kids need to see human faces in order to properly develop their ability to have empathy. There's parts of a brain that we call mirrored synapses. And a mirrored synapse response works as you begin to understand human faces. This is an angry human face. This is a doubtful human face. This is a happy human face. This human face doesn't know who you are. And in developing that, of course, then we can feel empathy. We can act with empathy. We can communicate in meaningful ways, sometimes without speaking a word. And the American Academy of Pediatrics had studies that showed how important this was. It was advice to parents. And one of the advice bits that was interesting is if you have family members who don't live near you, get pictures of their faces in multiple forms. Make sure that your kids see a lot of human faces, not just yours. Like one of the challenges if you live remotely is your kids won't learn to interpret the faces of enough people so that their brains can gather enough information so that they can have these mirrored synapses. And people can end up being awkward in that way. And the masks during the COVID lockdowns destroyed that. There's an entire generation of young kids who grew up without active mirrored synapses because at the most crucial time of development of that empathy gene or that those empathy synapses, they didn't get the experience of being able to develop empathy. You know what the American Academy of Pediatrics did during the lockdowns? They hid that study. It's gone. Utterly gone. So when things like this occur, and it wasn't just there, there's this. Barack Obama one point said, they bring a knife, we bring a gun. That's almost gone. It's almost impossible to find that video. You have an ability now for these huge websites to go and edit the news behind the scenes. And when they're editing the news behind the scenes and not disclosing it, and there's no internet archive, you don't know what's changed. This happened at the same time as Google did away with their service that's called the cache feature, which is very similar to the Wayback Machine. They did away with it at the same time. Now, that's probably coincidence to the hack. But who would target the Internet Wayback Machine? There's no money in that. There's no money in that. Beth just sent me a note on AFR. Todd, be careful. Are you sure that was the American Academy of Pediatrics? I think you're talking about the American Psychological Association. Okay. So let me be clear on that. I will check. I do not want to spread dis or misinformation. So I'll check on that. I'm pretty sure it was the American Academy of Pediatrics. I'm speaking from memory. So let me take that lesson and say, I will check and make sure. Because God knows I don't want to be the one now going out and need my own Wayback Machine. Thank you, Beth, for the note. You can write to me at thetoddhermanshow.com. On this program, though sometimes it's frustrating and difficult, we do thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling, almost always three. Stephen Colbert and one of CNN's pretty young entertainers didn't mean to crack a joke about CNN, but they did.
It's kind of been this moment where he has not been able to coalesce around a single attack line.
I know you guys are objective over there, that you just report the news as it is.
Oh, I know. CNN makes a... I know.
Is that supposed to be a laugh line?
I wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. And it's Colbert's audience laughing at that. That's good. That's a sign of hope. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. People went door to door pretending to be Kamala campaign workers, looking to house illegal immigrants in the homes of Democrats, and listen to their excuses.
I dressed up like I work for Kamala's campaign, and now I'm going to deliver immigrants to her supporters.
No! We are voting for you, don't worry.
Are you?
Of course.
We do have a surprise, if that's okay, just real fast.
We're
looking for a place for them to stay. They just came across. They'll sleep on floors. I mean, they're not picky, you know?
We have, like, a two-year-old, so...
Hector's good with kids.
Sorry, we just can't.
Could they just, like, sleep on your lawn?
They need a place to stay. They just came across.
My teenagers live with me.
It's funny how when it's your house, the answer is no. What exactly is the difference? Well, it's our house. Wait, but it's our park. It's our sidewalk. It's our government school. It's our country. Weird. They didn't just welcome them in. It's almost like there's a sense of things. Wait a minute, before someone comes in my home, I need to make sure I know who they are. I've got kids. I need to make sure they're safe around my kids. But we don't need to check that when they're coming into our country? Huh, why is that? Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Early into election night, MSNBC began seeding the idea that more ballots could be introduced in the middle of the night.
Those early votes in person and those absentee ballots, which my guess is are heavily weighted towards Harris supporters. In Green Bay, they won't report anything until they've counted the absentee ballots and the in-person election day votes. So that means that you're going to see a red mirage where it seems like Trump is doing better than he actually is because they haven't counted and reported those absentee ballots yet. And then the blue shift when those ballots are introduced to add to the totals, that could be in the middle of the night. It certainly was in 2020.
It certainly was in 2020. I wonder if they forgot to print 20 million ballots. I'm just kidding, kind of, but not really. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the thing that makes people uncomfortable. I am. I'm going to make a suggestion. And this makes people uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. This is not fun to discuss. So if you're with young kids, please be careful. There's a purpose to this. I wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't. God help me do this the right way. All right, on a personal note, I had a dear, dear, dear friend named Eric. And he and I were not supposed to be friends. It happened in the strangest possible way. I was riding my bicycle through Eric's neighborhood. I was not a cool kid. There was nothing cool about me. And I happened to ride up to this home. And this guy, Eric, said, he yelled my name and I stopped the bike and talked to him. He was cool. He had the right jeans. He had the right hair. Even at, I think we met in fourth grade, he looked like a young Jim Morrison, such a good, young, handsome kid. Even when he grew up, anywhere we went, grown women were attracted to him. He just had this unbelievable charisma. He actually graduated high school, married his high school sweetheart. They were together until Eric died very, very early on from Lou Gehrig's disease. He died almost 15 years ago. He was loyal to that woman. He was a good and kind man. He never harmed a person. And he never preyed upon women, girls, even though he could have. So Eric taught me how to be cool, and I gave him access to our home. And he had the only real family life in our home. He told me this. I saw him about 6 months before he died. He and I reconnected, praise God. And I hugged him. I said, thank you for saving me. He goes, I was going to tell you the same thing. I said, you saved me from a life of being bullied. He goes, you saved me from a life with no mom. And we got to embrace. Oh, praise God that I got to do that. Here's the uncomfortable part. Okay, Eric wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect. We didn't have access to the internet because it didn't exist at our age. When he found out suddenly, because this is the way his mom operated, she came to him and said, son, we're moving tomorrow. What? Yeah, I got married. We're moving. Oh. His mom was a dear lady. She matured. I got to meet her before Eric, got to reconnect with her before Eric died. I was stunned at how young she was. I was a new father, and when I saw her, I was stunned. My goodness, you're not that much older than me. So she announced they're leaving, and Eric had Playboys and penthouses. Okay, I told you this gets uncomfortable, but I have a suggestion for you. He called me and said, I have some things I want to give you because I'm moving and I can't take them with me. You're what? You're moving? Yeah, my mom just told me. Oh my gosh. Where? And we continued the friendship, but it was hard. So I went over to his house and he gave me some records to hide the pornographic magazines. And I brought them back to my house. And my mom found them. And here's how my mom dealt with this. I came home from school, and the magazines were on the kitchen table, open to the centerfold. My mom said, please sit down. I'm not angry with you. Boys are naturally curious, but please sit with me. Son, do you think women like doing this? No. I read some of the letters in here. Do you think this is the way sex really is? No. Well, it's not. She closed the magazines and gave them back to me and walked away. I didn't sit there very long before I tossed them in the fireplace and burned them. Just a suggestion in this porn-washed society, asking smart questions of your sons and daughters. Do you think people really like doing that? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, until we all speak again. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.